It is time for another edition of Mike McFeely Outdoors on the Mighty 790 KFGO after a week's run of best of, which must have taken Daniel Gunderson several weeks and lots of gray hair to actually put together four segments of the best of. But I was in Spokane, Washington last Saturday, and we just decided instead of me trying to do some outdoors talk from lovely Spokane, by the way, I mean, nice place.
Saw the river pictures you have.
Oh, it's tremendously nice. But I just thought we'd do a best of. And so Daniel, again, had to scour and scrape and reach to the bottom of the barrel and come up with the best of, but he did it. So thank you, Pinto, for that. But we're back here live on this Saturday. Doug Lear, North Dakota, Game and Fish, and Tom Wynn and Friend in the morning on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Hello, Doug Lear.
Hey, good Saturday. I wasn't sure if we were transitioning into golf show. Is it golf show time of the year?
No, golf show is no more. I'm just going to do outdoors.
Cool.
12 months out of the year.
Shucks, no, gosh.
Gosh. What's that on your face, by the way? What do you...
Oh, God. I thought you were making fun of my nose, huh?
No. No. Me making fun of your nose? No. No.
Glasses.
I'd make fun of your hair, too.
Yeah. Gosh.
I didn't know
you had
glasses.
That wasn't a one-way ticket to Spokane, was it?
I didn't know you had glasses.
I've had glasses since I was like a senior in high school. I typically would wear contact lenses.
Just but like
I'm battling a nasty, dreaded... pink eye.
Bob Costas. You and Costas been rolling around in the duck blind or something?
Oh,
or
man.
What?
I forgot all about that. Evidently, you didn't forget
about
that.
So obviously,
you've never
Costas.
Had pink eye, huh? You start making
actually,
fun of me.
I have, actually. It was terrible. I didn't. But I felt sorry for Bob Costas, and I feel sorry for you, because my heart
just
is so big.
Have a different
big.
Way of showing it.
Yeah. The poor guy looked like he was... Just his eyes were a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was terrible. And yours look fine. You look
Thank
wonderful. You.
You
look very handsome with your glasses and
handsome
and shaved.
One
in.
Day he's blessing me. The next time he's calling
God
me handsome.
God bless your handsomeness and your glasses, Doug Lear. Way to go.
Yeah, pink eye. That's the short story of behind
okay,
why I'm wearing glasses
good.
This
so
week.
So what's but. Happening in the great outdoors?
Well, we got snow goose hunting going on as we speak right now. And quite frankly, if folks aren't ready to go snow goose hunting, I'm not sure really that I could guarantee if you wait until Easter that you're going to have, you'll have some stragglers remaining, but the way the snow line is with kind of the northeastern part of the state and the geese got into North Dakota, they got into North Dakota 2 weeks ago, and then the weather turned a little bit sour and it stalled the migration and held them up. And then fast forward to the mid part of this week, Wednesday and Thursday, and the birds started really starting to push out of South Dakota and into North Dakota. The good news of it all is that as many birds as there are from Dickey County to Richland and Sargent County, from Sand Lake Refuge in Aberdeen over to Huron and Brookings, is I was still getting reports of snow geese in Nebraska. So they don't all migrate through in
At
10
days.
At the
same
days.
Time.
No.
There's millions upon millions of them.
Yeah, we haven't run out of them.
Which raises this, and this is a question that I have. Now, we've been doing this spring snow goose season for how long now?
Since 1999.
Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah,
15 years. Are we making a dent? Because if you go back in time, it was not just about sporting excitement and guides and all this stuff. It was about reducing the population of snow and blue geese because they were destroying their nesting grounds in the Arctic. Wasn't that the whole purpose of this?
Exactly right.
Are we reducing the numbers of snow geese, and has their nesting grounds improved in the last 15 years?
The nesting grounds haven't improved, but the snow geese have started to move, which is typical animal behavior. If one spot ain't working for you, you find another spot to go. And I'm going to try to put together maybe a little Reader's Digest version of snow geese. Rocky Rockwell is one of the noted snow goose biologists, and he works out of the University of New York, but he's been spending 46 summers at La Perouse Bay. It's a research camp off the Hudson Bay. We're talking near Churchill, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. That's where these snow geese are headed to. And after 46 years there, he's kind of the gospel of snow geese. And back in the 1960s, the snow goose population was estimated around 800,000. And now, depending on if you ask Rocky in the morning or in the afternoon, the snow goose popular. By no means is that a knock on Rocky Rockwell at all. But
I'm going to knock his friends for not coming up with a better nickname than Rocky.
Got
the last name of Rockwell.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on.
They estimate the population at closer to 15 million.
Whoa. What?
Right.
Whoa, rewind. 800,000 to 15 million?
And what a lot of researchers say is snow geese adapted to the change in agriculture and the crops that are used in the Central Flyway now compared to then. And they took advantage of a lot of federal wildlife refuges. These wildlife refuges and a lot of the stuff we're dealing with now took place over a course of time. So you combine those ingredients together, and our snow goose population, by the time we hit the mid-1990s, there was a lot of discussion on, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to help reduce the population of snow geese? And a spring conservation season was one of the tools in the toolbox to do that. It's slowing the expansion. So when they estimate the population growing by like 3 or 5% a year, that's better than it growing at a 10 to 15% clip per year, or even more than that. So it may not be helping in terms of reducing the overall population, but it's slowing the population expansion and the population growth. The estimates are that around 1 million snow geese are taken in the spring and the fall seasons each year. So right now, we're harvesting, on average, more snow geese than even existed 50 years ago.
You know what we need?
What do we need?
A good epidemic. We need a good virus to wipe out 5 million snow geese. And that'll get the numbers back in check.
And that was part of the fear, was that if something wasn't done, the snow goose population would crash. Their nesting grounds would be completely destroyed. There might be some sort of disease that would, as you mentioned, that would come into play. So that was a lot of the fear of wildlife managers. Obviously, after 15 years and a population at 15 million, that hasn't happened yet. One interesting change that's taken place, as I mentioned, the snow geese nesting have moved. And now what your buddy Rocky is saying, now where they have moved to, they've opened up their nests. They're more susceptible now to polar bears. And polar bears have discovered the high protein option that snow goose eggs are. It's the other white egg. I don't know what, but
it's the other egg white.
It's the egg white. So polar bears are starting to maybe impact the population just a little bit as well.
Love nature. I love nature to the point that, okay, they're going to destroy their nesting grounds.
Right.
So, well, we're wrecking this, so let's just move someplace else. And then another part of nature, the polar bears say, hey, wait a second. Those eggs are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Scramble me up a couple of those snow goose eggs.
Yep.
And if we weren't in the way of wildlife, if man was not messing up this whole planet, and that's me on my commentary again, nature would be just fine. Everything would take care of itself. And something might go extinct, or something might do this or that because of disease or climate change or something else.
Yep.
But it would always find a way.
That's what I love too.
They just adjust.
That's what I love about getting older as a biologist and seeing how the self-correct of nature takes place, and how, quite frankly and quite honestly, we as biologists go, I never thought that could have happened.
And this is me back on my commentary again. And I had a friend of mine. We were talking about crow hunting last couple of shows. And I had a good friend of mine and a good guy. And he says, I always shoot those crows because they're always picking at songbird nests, and they're really tough on the songbirds. And I said, Mike, let's just say that's his name. Mike, how did songbirds and crows get along for, 60 trillion years before we were here?
Bingo.
Seems like they did okay without us. I think they'll be just fine.
Bingo. Yep. And there's so much to be said for that. As we as society pick out that all the mallards should live, and those rotten skunks and raccoons that are eating their eggs, they should all be wiped off the face of the earth. Well, as you said, that's been going on for a long, long time.
One more quick point. Here's another thing. People in North Dakota, and I hear it every single day on my program or elsewhere, coyotes. We got to kill the coyotes. Yeah. We got to kill. You could shoot as many coyotes as you want. And the great thing about nature and the great thing about coyotes, which I love coyotes. There, I said it.
Yeah.
You go ahead and kill all of them you want. You poison them. You trap them. You run them over. You shoot them from the sky. You know what?
Yep.
They're going to win because there's always going to be more coyotes that can reproduce. And they are a wonder of nature.
Let's net some bullheads out of Lake Ashtabula.
Yeah, let's do that.
We've tried it. There's still bullheads in Lake Ashtabula? Yep.
Yeah, very quickly, need to take a break. I need to get you for one more quick segment, Doug, before you run out of here.
Let's
Mike McFeely Outdoors. I love coyotes. Go ahead, hate me for it. I don't care. I'm the Mighty 790 KMG. It's a good thing. Rain makes cold.